CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Aldous Huxley said, "The great end of life is not knowledge, but action." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who act. Our first playmaker catered both inaugurations for President George W. Bush, feeding over 87,000 guests in Washington, D.C., while our next playmaker grew her company revenue by almost 50% in 2014. With us today is the CEO of a company that believes if the body and the brain is a ship, then he helps them bring the captain back home. Well, our next CEO is a global provider of more than 170 multilingual language solutions to some of the largest companies in the world. These great playmakers are Eddie Dean. Eddie is CEO of Eddie Dean & Company, and Claudia Mirza. Claudia is CEO of Acorbi, and we're going to begin today's show with Claudia. Now, Claudia Mirza is a CEO and co-founder of Acorbi, a global provider of, as I mentioned, multilingual business solutions in more than 170 languages to some of the largest companies in the world. Acorbi offers a full range of language, localization, and global marketing solutions, including professional multilingual staffing, translation, interpretation, multilingual call centers, business process outsourcing, sign language interpretation, alternate formats, transcriptions, e-learning, and discovery. That's a lot. What started as a home-based translation business in 2003 has flourished under Claudia's leadership into an international company with approximately 600 full-time and part-time employees and a 200% plus growth in recent years. Lots to talk about. Well, Claudia, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Well, you grew up in Colombia, mm-hmm. and your mother commuted 3 hours to work each day.
Yes.
Did you inherit her tenacity?
Yes. I wish I even had more of her. I think this woman, just whenever I'm facing issues, every single thing is possible for her. I cannot understand how somebody can be so optimistic and focused on success.
And she was.
She is.
And she taught you this. Just by being the kind of person she was.
Sometimes I am down and I'm saying, I don't think I am going to make this. And she says, why are you so negative? You have to accomplish it. You are going to solve it and you are going to keep going with it.
Oh, that's a great person to have around like that.
She's an inspiration.
Well, you came to the United States from Colombia in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You started your company in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
How did that all begin?
Well, being a Latina, it was very difficult for me to deal with the language component, to deal with, I had an education from Colombia, but I was challenged because all the ideas that I had, I could not just put them to work. And I felt like whenever I was looking for jobs, the employers were not putting me in the right place. So I decided to, instead of being laid off, as it happened with my last job, I decided to take matters in my own hands and start a business.
Well, you, correct me if I'm wrong, saw some of your colleagues being laid off.
I did. There was this, my boss, she spent 18 years at that business. And I remember security taking her out. Escorting her out of the business, and I could hear people screaming and just, what happened to all that group of people whenever they got laid off? They didn't go back to the same job. Some of them became handymen. They went into constructions, and my coworker became a kindergarten teacher, and she was my boss in an engineering company.
A big change. So that was the impetus to help you start a business.
Yes.
You started Acorbi in 2003 out of your home.
Correct.
Tell us how it got started and tell us what Acorbi actually does.
Well, how we got started, after the census data in the year 2000 was released, we realized that there was all these, a significant amount of all these minority groups, all these foreigners were growing and growing in this country. And I realized that by looking at the media and advertisement, the multicultural materials were very poorly written. So I decided that I could do a better job. I tested, I looked at the phone guide at that time, and I realized that there was an opportunity to start a business. So this is how I started. So what we offer multilingual business solutions to very large corporations and the federal government. We provide services in 170 languages. We provide translations, interpretation, multilingual staffing, learning solutions. And we are the people behind mental health facilities doing interpretations for people that are extremely ill.
Well, we're speaking with Claudia Mercer. Claudia is the CEO of Akorbi, and that's A-K-O-R-B-I. And their website, very simply, is akorbi.com. And that brings up a question. That sounds like an interesting word, Akorbi. Where did that come from?
It was at 12 o'clock in the night. My husband and I were laying in bed. We needed to have a word that started with A because we wanted to be at the top of the databases. It had to be short, and we ended up making it up, but it means A, bilingual corporation, and core is corporation. B at the end is bilingual, so we just changed the order of the words.
That's interesting. You're a multilingual company, mm-hmm. and you came up with a word that it sounds like it could be some other language.
Yes. However, we went to many sites. We hired several translators, and we realized, okay, tell us if this means something bad. And some people said that in Japan that was a card game. I said, okay, we could live with that.
There you go. Well, you've had, as I mentioned at the opening, that you had 200% plus growth in recent years. Why have you had so much success in the last few years with Akorbi?
I think you have to surround yourself with the right people. I have very intelligent people in my team. One of the mistakes that I made very early in the business was just I didn't have a lot of people with a lot of experience. But slowly I started surrounding myself with experienced professionals, people that have been and accomplished a lot of things. And these individuals have been the ones that have been giving us so much growth and bringing so much value, not only to us, but also to our customers. So I think you have to surround yourself with people that are better than you.
Oh, that's the number one way to make it happen. So it took you a while to figure that out then.
It took a while. And that's perhaps my number one advice to people whenever they are starting a business. Sometimes we are afraid to pay more, but it's just good people cost money.
Are you always looking for good people? Because you have an interesting type of business because you always need different types of people that speak different languages. But
yes.
Are you always looking for the right kind of person for your company?
The management team is always, if you find the right management team member, I think we will always make place for those type of individuals. They are very unique, very hard to find, but once you find them, you have to keep them around you.
There's a number of companies here in Dallas that are multinational and or work with companies overseas. What type of company does business with you, and who are you looking for as a client?
Right now, my biggest customer is Google. We are placing people in their facilities to do YouTube testing, content moderation in different languages. So my client not only looks at people with experience in programming, but also they want a person that understands the other language. So for instance, one of the requirements we have is Korean content moderators. So we send people to the workplace to do Korean content moderation and read all day long. So that's the type of people we send. But Google is one of my biggest customers.
And they're one of the biggest companies, period. There's a great video, a cartoon video on Claudia's website, acorby.com, that explains a lot of what you do.
Thank you.
I thought that explains it very well. Well, you mentioned some advice that you would give someone wanting to grow their business, firing people better than you. Mm-hmm. But what other advice would you give someone interested in beginning their business? Because you're an entrepreneur, you started your business 12 years ago, 13 years ago. What advice would you give somebody that wants to start their own business, especially if they are a minority, mm-hmm. especially if they are Hispanic?
I think they need to believe in themselves. I think we have seen so much adversity in our lives. I'm going to give you an example. Back in 2008, somebody asked me, so what are you doing with this type of economy? How horrible is this? And I said, well, I have seen worse. So seeing people dead during the cartel wars, living in a war, I think that has been extremely difficult to live. So we minorities, we have a significant amount of adversity that we have gone through, and perhaps we can use this adversity and this toughness to grow a business and to accomplish, and the United States is the most wonderful place in the world.
I would think sometimes the adversity helps you become successful because you know how bad it was there.
Yes.
You have no place to go but up.
I have a great appreciation for this wonderful country.
Well, that's wonderful. Sometimes it takes somebody from outside the United States to appreciate how great the United States is.
Yes.
But being in the language business has mm-hmm. to be one of the best businesses to be in because the world is getting smaller and smaller and more companies are dealing with countries that don't speak English. Mm-hmm. That sounds like it's a tremendous opportunity for Acorby.
It is a tremendous opportunity, and in fact, we have a lot of venture capitalists interested in the business, lots of questions about whether we are interested in acquisition or bringing external funding. But this is a business that requires a significant amount of technology and innovation, because with all these machine translation trends and robots, we have to be, instead of making these our enemies and refusing them, we need to adopt them and embrace them and move forward with technology. So it requires a lot of R&D, a lot of work to stay on top of the game.
But you have no place to go but up. So tell everybody one more time how they can get a hold of your company.
Our company, the website is www.acorby.com, and it's spelled AKORBI.com. Telephone number is 214-256-9222.
And that's all our website, also PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Well, Claudia, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
Claudia Mirza is the CEO of Acorby. Don't go away. We're going to take a short break, but we're going to be back and talk catering and also talking people with the CEO of Eddie Dean & Company. His name, Eddie Dean. We'll be back with Eddie right after this.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk to international caterer, adjunct professor, pianist, songwriter, and community leader, and those are all descriptions of a man by the name of Eddie Dean. Eddie has become a role model, generously helping individuals and his community become instruments of change. Eddie grew up on a working ranch in Wills Point and opened his first restaurant on the shores of Lake Tawakoni in 1980. In 1994, he purchased the land and buildings for his commissary in Terrell, which is now the main staging area for Eddie Dean & Company Catering. Eddie Dean & Company catered both presidential and gubernatorial inaugurations for President George W. Bush, feeding a total of 87,000 guests. For the last 20 years, Eddie Dean & Company has been the official caterer of the Texas gubernatorial celebrations and catering with those celebrations over 74,000 guests. In 1996, Eddie Dean's ranch in downtown Dallas was created in the old Maloof Dress Factory, just south of the Dallas Convention Center. In December of 2008, Eddie's newest development is Edison's Dallas, an open which expands the services and relationships to a growing diverse client base. Eddie, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
You believe that something I saw, that potential plus intent plus energy equals matter. What does that mean?
Well, basically, if you got an intention and basically got enough air in your basketball, there's no barriers that you can't overcome. But if you lack motivation, you lack curiosity, then fundamentally everything kind of dries up from there.
Well, even though Eddie is a caterer, he's also a philosopher also in terms of dealing with people. But let's talk about your catering business first. You started with a restaurant in Lake Tawakoni. How did you move from that restaurant into the catering business?
Well, in the catering business, somebody asked, I was in the barbecue business, so everybody's looking for, potentially thinking that, barbecue is pretty easy to cater versus a lot of other meals. So it was a natural flow. And so you get the opportunity, the first job, and you recognize you can feed a whole lot more people faster than just waiting on people coming to the restaurant. So the catering really took over my business. So eventually we fed a party for George W. Bush, when he was running for governor. That's where we got tied up with President Bush. And from there, it just led to another party. So the real key is, you really got to have good barbecue. And if you got good barbecue, then you get more tickets to do more parties.
Well, there's two things in there. I think number one is that product. And I could attest the fact it's good barbecue because I've been to the Eddie Dean Ranch just south of the convention center, and it's a great barbecue. But also it's the service and the people, which we're going to come back to in a second. Let's go back to Texas A&M because you went there. You were a scientist. You learned all that. How did that move you into the restaurant business?
Well, it's when I got out of Texas A&M, my family, we own a marina on Lake Tawakoni. And so it was just a natural flow again. And so I rented the facility for my brothers and sisters and opened up a restaurant there. And there was some Saturdays we'd have 1,000 people, show up. We did entertainment. Eventually got in the hot tub business and put a hot tub in the dance floor. And
that's interesting.
So it was a great time in the summer.
I bet it was. Well, you have catering, and you'll cater. If you go to Eddie's website, which is Eddie Dean, DEEN.com, it has everything you want to know about the catering, and you have a number of different types of catering you do. You have, and I love the names. You have the 10 East Texas Barbecue, the Mexican Fiesta, the Uptown Supper, Down Home Dinner, the Holiday Fair, the All American, the Gulf Coast Cajun Feast, the Southwest Polynesian, the Rome on the Range. You'll do any kind of catering for anybody based on what they want.
Yeah, the corporate customer, a lot of times we're feeding the same customers, over and over, so we have to have a variety of different menus, to offer. But basically every event, somebody's trying to tell a story. Our job is to fit into that story, understand what they're trying to communicate and express, whatever the intent is. And so at the end of the day, our job is to protect the client's, brand and whatever they're trying to communicate, and set the stage for everybody to fall in love with that client and, of course, call us back again.
What gave you idea for Eddie Dean's Ranch? Because in being there with a number of groups that have had their events there, it looks like a ranch.
Yeah, the facility itself, my dad just passed away a year ago. He was 102, and so he had a large ranch in Wills Point right next to the Maloof Dress Factory Ranch. That so they had a lot of land, and my father also, and so as growing up, it was naturally just, worked our cattle and our cattle. And we, just a good relationship between the two families. And when the dress factory itself started collapsing, back in the early 90s, where, you know, jobs were being sent overseas, the Maloofs asked me, could I look at their property and come up with an idea? So that's what became Eddie Dean's Ranch. So we're right next to Dallas Convention Center, and a lot of guests, you know, coming to Texas or looking for Texas, you know, experience. So it was just a natural thing just to make it look like a Texas, you know, town. So you just come in, and we set the stage for you to construct a great experience. So that became the kind of the idea.
One of the few places within walking distance of the convention center.
Yes.
And the Omni Hotel and even Darts. What is the difference then between the Eddie Dean Ranch and Edison's?
Edison's more, we got a 1947 Bentley in the foyer, and it's when I bought that property, that car was actually in the building, and that became the theme. It's a two-tone, kind of a beige and brown. So it's really a beautiful car, but what we do there is more upscale events, a lot of weddings. Pretty much, you know, Saturday night, you know, we do, you know, some corporate events, but mostly it's smaller events for, you know, the locals. A lot of people locally, you know, they're not looking for cowboys and Indians. It's more the international audience is coming to Dallas that's looking for, you know, some kind of Western feel. So I wanted to be able to set the stage for both, you know, type of guests.
And that's located in South Lamar?
Yeah, it's just right down the street from, it's on Cockrell Street, right next to Dallas Police Station. They're in downtown Dallas, just down the street from the ranch.
And again, we're speaking with Eddie Dean, and his website is eddiedean.com. Well, you've developed a program called Internal Freedom, and you have a mission to bring the captain back to the ship, which is the brain and the body. And your program connects the individual to the owner of his or her brain, reigniting awareness and creativity. Now, you're working with Carter High School and Souls Harbor Homeless Shelter.
Right.
And you have a lot of students. Talk about what you're doing with those students and how you're helping.
At Carter, we got typically around 75 to 100 students there. And so at Souls Harbor, it's around 75 men who's, you know, fell into the ditch of some sort, you know. But the whole idea behind both programs at the Souls Harbor, what we see is several years ago, I'd asked this question in a shelter reconciliation outreach, you know, at what point did you feel like you lost your power or control? And one of the guys just got out of prison noticed that of the 20 women and the 40 men, that they all had the same age, around 5 years old. So that day I was driving home, I said, what happens to, you know, an individual when they're 5 years old that, you know, becomes programmed and you learn how to ride a bicycle? So what I did was built a bicycle that when you turn right, the wheel goes left, brought it back to the shelter, and of course nobody could ride the bicycle because they were programmed to ride the other bicycle. And so everybody started realizing at 5 years old, through these adverse childhood experiences, that fundamentally they could reprogram that story and actually become somebody different. So that became kind of the idea, and that was over a decade ago. So we've been very, very successful teaching people how to go back and rewire, you know, adverse childhood experience. At Carter, basically it's, you know, if a baby is born like a basketball, what's in the basketball, we call it the captain. And so the most critical part of the basketball is the bounce, the buoyancy, and the creativity and curiosity. So if you go into a pathway of prison or end up in drugs, alcohol, whatever, somebody obviously has put a knife in the basketball around 5 years old. But what we're seeing in inner city schools is typically not a knife. It's just a needle slowly diminishing the captain of the ship, if a body and brain is the ship. So the point is that in both of these two groups of kids and older guys is that how fast can we get the individual, like the Souls Harbor, to heal the wound of the basketball? If they can heal the wound, we can teach them how to put the spirit back into the ball. At Carter, it's pretty much how fast can we get them to put the spirit, the soul, the captain back to the ship? And so that becomes the program. So it's really about we look at it as far as how fast can we do it. And so we got great success stories of people in a few hours at the shelter. Actually, a lot of the urges become, you know, typically that put them back in negative situation goes away. So that's what we're looking for is how can we reach the captain, get it back to the ship, and rewire the hedonic system, which is the reward pleasure system of the brain.
Well, you've come full circle with this. We talked about your catering business. We talked about what you're doing with these folks. But you've also hired a number of them to work in your company.
Based on the idea that what we figured out is how fast can I get somebody to want to serve other people? And typically, if you're going down a negative pathway, you're actually thinking that people exist for your benefit. So by actually teaching people how to go back and rewire their childhood, they actually become very, very service-oriented. So that they kind of start thinking that you exist to be a benefit too, instead of the opposite. So as much passion they used to have going the negative way, negative pathway, now they got the same passion going the other direction. So so some of my best employees that's been working for years, 10 years ago, had a very negative pathway they were following, a ship with no captain, drifting, falling to urges to the opposite person. So our success rate is really, at Sos Harbor, is in the high 90s, that people become opposite people.
That's wonderful. I think one of the things you said is the purpose of life is to be beneficial to others, which is where you're also another statement, the true measure of success is hospitality. And you're doing that through your business, also working with these people too.
Yeah, basically, I'm what you call a systems thinker. So the properties of a system are the product of all the interaction of all the parts in the system, not the parts separate. So everybody exchanges energy in the system determines the life of the system. And so that's actually what we teach, to all the employees is fundamentally is you got to focus on how you exchange energy and information with other people. That determines the quality of the experience that the customer has or the organization can achieve. And so the key in hospitality is Eddie Dean and Company is a subsystem. So to define a subsystem, you got to look at the greater system. And greater system is a hospitality. So what is the hospitality system? It's where you set the stage for the customer to fall in love with you or a customer, have a great experience. So we have to always be in alignment with the greater system, hospitality. And so it makes it real easy for the guys coming on board. Are you a benefit? Are you not?
So tell everybody how they can find out about Eddie Dean and also what you're doing with these folks.
Yeah, website, Eddie Dean and Company. Our phone number is 214-741-4211. You can go and email me at eddie@eddiedean.com. Dean is two E's, D-E-E-N. We look forward to having you email me and give you more information on what we're doing.
Well, Eddie, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
Eddie Dean of Eddie Dean and Company. And we also had Claudia Mirza, CEO of Acorbi. Thank you very much for listening to us and being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.